I'm going to look at Judges chapter 13 today. I'm going to talk about Samson. And as I was thinking about this all week, I was... Sometimes you think of Samson and these characters in the Bible and you hear the great feats they did. And no doubt, Samson was a man of faith and he was a man of great feats and great success and great strength. But around all that, he also had some downfalls. And those are downfalls that I can really assimilate with. I can really look at myself and say, you know what? As a Christian, we all have that strength and we all have those downfalls. If we don't look at those downfalls, that self-will, those lusts, those sinful things, those temptations, the same tragic end could be us. In Judges 13, the children of Israel were in bondage. And Samson's father, was praying along with his mother. And they wanted a son. And an angel came and granted them that wish. Under one condition, he was to be a Nazarite. He was to be free from alcohol, the flesh of dead humans, dead animals. He was to remain pure, and he was to leave his hair long for the length of his life. Now, I can only picture how long his hair could have been. Some say it was tied into 7 braids. Some say it was flowing. It was a lot of hair. And it represented one thing, that he was set apart. He was set apart as a judge of Israel. He was set apart at a time when the people of Israel were comfortable in the bondage to the Philistines. They were okay with that yoke. They didn't wish to fight back anymore. They were okay being told what to do. They were okay being directed in every facet of their life. And along comes a guy named Samson. And he was spoken before he was even born. He was told, you're going to have a great man. You're going to have a great son. And Samson's parents took that to heart. And Samson was born. Judges 13, 24. And the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move at him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtol. Now, I can only think about something that my father said maybe a week or two ago. You know, it's never too young for the Spirit of the Lord to move inside a child. Right. And as we move towards children who are approaching ages of accountability, you'll find that Samson was moved by the Spirit of the Lord at even a young age. The Lord began to stir in him because he had an oath. He had an oath to be pure. He had an oath to be clean. He was the true judge of Israel at that time. Now, I entitled this sermon, A Tale of Two Secrets. Because the main secret everybody knows, he was not to tell anybody the source of his strength. Which, if his hair was shaved, if his hair was clipped, the Spirit of the Lord would leave him. And the strength that he had would be taken. And that's the obvious secret that he had. But there's another secret as I read into it and I studied it. It was a secret of the sin that he had inside himself. Now, one secret he was supposed to keep within himself. But I believe the other secret, the lust, the self-will, the love of women, the love of sexual concubines, he never really told anybody about it. He never really said, I have a problem with this. And that goes for us. If we're not accountable to one another, if we're not accountable to Christ, it doesn't matter what he bestows upon us. It doesn't matter who he calls us. It doesn't matter if he says, separate yourself only unto me. Because our choices separate ourselves from him.
Come on.
And Samson dealt with this for his entire life. And he's one of the men that was listed in the Bible as a true man of faith. But it was a tragic end. And I'm here to show you that just because You may be consecrated to Christ. Just because you are consecrated to Christ does not mean that one simple choice, one simple thought that continues to grow and grow inside of you, cannot separate you from God. And Samson, as I look at him, he was a great guy. He was humorous. He was strong. He was funny. He was that guy. But you know, at a young age, even though he was consecrated to Christ, he went against the wishes of his parents. He went against the wishes of his father in heaven. Judges chapter 14, verse 1. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now right there is the lust of the eye. I'm going to walk down to the Philistine camp where I know those people have kept me in bondage for years. And I'm going to wander down there. And I'm going to check out and see what's going on. How many knows when we wander around to check out what's going on? That's called associating with the world. And the only thing that comes when we associate with the world is a tragic end or a consequence. Verse 2, and he came up and he told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. Okay, what do we got here? We got a little eye here. What? And right here becomes the line in the sand. I come back from an enemy camp. The people who are keeping me in bondage. My parents, a few short years earlier, had just been told by an angel of the Lord that this is to be a Nazarite set apart. And this son comes back and says, go get me this woman from the Philistines. Verse 3, then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of your brethren or among all my people that you go to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleases me well. Now, how many times have I said that? How many times have we as humans said that? Just get that for me because it pleases me well. Let me do this because it pleases me well. Let me go here because it pleases me well. When we ask for that kind of pleasure is sin. Because God is nowhere found in these verses here. He's not stirring in Samson. He's not moving in him. And Samson's saying, Father, Mother, go do this for me because it pleases me well. And I ask myself, if this had changed, if his father had a different response, would that have changed Samson's life? Would it have changed his course of destination? I didn't hear anywhere in where his father said no. Because in the next verse it says, but his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. They knew it was wrong, but did they say anything? They didn't say anything. And sometimes that's where we're at as humans. Sometimes we don't say anything. Not only to somebody else, we don't say anything to ourselves.
Oh, come on.
Okay, forget about the other person. We always want to point the finger. What did we say to ourselves? Because we're a Nazarite. We're separated unto Christ.
Come on.
We're removed. We are the judge. And I ask myself, am I at fault for not saying something to myself? Am I at fault sometimes for being Samson? Get that for me because it pleases me well. I'm not going to pray about it. I'm not going to read about it. I just want it because it pleases me. And that's the trap that the devil gets us into. It's those secrets that are inside us. That the secrets that we should tell. Hey, I'm struggling with this. I have a problem with this. I'm thinking about this. And that's where Samson is right now. The secret that he wasn't supposed to tell was his hair. And he kept that for the majority of his life. But the things that he was struggling with inside, I didn't find any part in his life where he went to somebody and said, you know what, Dad? I have a problem with this. You know what, brother? I have a problem with this. But you're not going to be able to do that if you're mingling with the Philistines. Does that make sense?
Amen.
You're not going to be able to find accountability in the world because you're going to find somebody who's going to tell you what you want to hear and where you want to go, and you're going to say, you know what? That's God's will. We're never going to find accountability with those who don't read the Bible. Amen. We're never going to find accountability with those who don't come to church. We're never going to find accountability with those who are not also separated as a Nazarite.
Come on.
The devil will come to us and say, yeah, that person understands you. And they may understand you. But are they going to keep you accountable? Are they going to keep you accountable for the actions that you may or may not want to do? And Samson's in this boat right now. And verse 5, and then Samson went down, and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. Now, we hear this story, and I researched this a little bit. There was lions everywhere. And I've seen lions in the zoo. I've seen lions on TV. I don't think I've ever seen a lion that's approached me.
Right.
And Samson is face to face with this lion as he's going on his way to find this bride of the Philistines. And verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, which was a small lamb, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. He killed the lion with his bare hands. He ripped it apart. Now, even though we sin, even though we go in the direction we're not supposed to, the devil still seeks to take our life. He tried to ambush Samson at that moment. He tried to kill him. He knew that at one point, the Spirit of the Lord would bring to some fruition, some good inside Samson. And he tried to kill him. He tried to assassinate him. Now, I read about that strength that Samson had. We also have that strength. It's not a physical strength, though. Because the lions that wish to kill us are a spiritual lion. It's a demonic lion that comes and it approaches you when nobody else is around. When your friends aren't there, when your family isn't there. And it has a one-on-one encounter with you. And that lion tries to kill you. It tries to take your energy. It tries to take your joy. It tries to take your passion. It tries to separate you from God.
Amen.
And if we stay as a Nazarite, if we continue to separate ourselves like Samson was supposed to do in the spirit, we will have the power to kill that lion. We will have the power to step on that lion and rent that lion in two spiritually. Because the demonic forces are not going to stop. And throughout Samson's life, the demons kept coming after him. And I'll show you that they became wary of him. Ooh, what is this guy? He's got this supernatural strength that he kills lions. He slays the enemy with a jawbone. He does all sorts of supernatural miracles. But that didn't stop the deceiver from trying to kill him. It didn't stop the deceiver from trying to find that secret. It just made them a little more wary. And I'll have you know, in this day and age, the devil is not going to stop seeking your life. He's not going to stop trying to steal, kill, and destroy. He might be wary. He might say, I have to step around this obstacle. She's reading the Bible. She's going to church. How can I ambush this person?
That's it.
How can I go around the normal plan and present something that's appealing?
That's right.
What was appealing to Samson was women. Was lust. He couldn't keep himself away from it. Verse 7, and he went down and he talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. Now I read that a couple times and I wasn't really sure how to take that. I took it one way. That the Lord reminded Samson that that was a victory. And after a victory in the Lord, there's a sweet spirit about it. There's a sweet taste of victory because you have conquered something. You have put something under your foot through the Spirit of the Lord. And I was thinking, he's walking along with this bride and he sees the carcass of this lion laying here with a bunch of bees in it who had just made honey. And I thought, wow, the Lord's reminding him yet again, even though he's walking with something that's ungodly, with this woman who just wants to please him. The Lord says to him, and here's the second thing I thought. The Lord reminded him of his strength and his power. And I think Samson must have stopped at that moment, because he did stop. He picked up some honey. He started eating honey out of this carcass. And I could see God talking to him right now and saying, Samson, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're here with a Philistine. I'm showing you a miracle that I just allowed you to do with your supernatural strength. You're eating the sweet honey of victory. But on the right side of you, you're sinning at the same time. And what was... I just don't know what Samson was thinking. I really don't. But then again, sometimes I don't know what I'm thinking. I don't know what you're thinking. You're looking at it and you say, do you see this miracle here? Do you see this honey? Do you see this victory? And two clicks to the right, you're here. I'm here. What are you thinking? Well, you're not thinking, because you really haven't set yourself apart as a Nazarite. And when we don't set ourselves completely apart and we leave even that window of opportunity, the devil's going to come. He's going to come and he's going to capitalize on that. He's going to come. He's going to make it an issue. And sometimes these issues are things that we struggle with our entire life. Samson struggled with this his entire life. He never got a grip on the secret that he should tell. So he's walking along. He's got his Philistine wife. He's going to have a wedding. A wedding. And at the wedding, he invites even more Philistines. The whole Philistine family of this woman. And they have a feast. They have a feast. And they're there. And Samson's there with this bride. And in verse 10, so his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast. For so used the young men to do. That's what they did. They had a big party. And when it came to pass, when they saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you, if you can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, I will give you 30 sheets, 30 shirts, and 30 changes of garments. But if you cannot declare it to me, then shall you give me 30 sheets and 30 changes of garments. And they said unto him, put forth your riddle, that we may hear it. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. He's playing with them now. He's playing with them. He's giving them a riddle. It's not good to play with the enemy sometimes. It's not good to play with the enemy. Because sometimes we can get a haughty spirit about us. We can get a prideful spirit where we say, yeah, my God's powerful in you, and I'm going to play with you a little bit. And it happens. Our God is powerful. But we're not free of trials and tribulations. And when we play with the devil, when we try to play games, I believe the devil sends even more after us. He says, you know what? Okay, I'll double down. I'll double down. All right, you think it's a big joke? Ha, ha, ha. Ha. I'll send hundreds. I'll send thousands of demons to attack you. And Samson's playing around now. Mind you, this guy just slayed a lion. If I saw some of you pull a lion apart, I would think you're a pretty good guy. Right? I would give you probably a little more attention. I'm like, wow, this guy's crazy. This woman's crazy. Pull a lion apart. And I think Samson got to be full of himself. He started to think, yeah, I am the guy. I am the most important thing around. And he started playing with these guys. He started playing. In verse 15, and it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice your husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you called us to take that what we have? Is it not so? They're playing Samson's wife. Now I believe if Samson had married a Christian woman, had married somebody who had the guts to say to him, you know what? This is my husband. I'm not going to betray him. things would have turned out different. But you know, you get what you pay for sometimes.
Amen.
You get what you pay for. The choices that you make is the life that you have to live with. And very quickly, Samson was burned by fire. Because in the next verse, and Samson's wife wept before him and said, "You do but hate me and love me not. You have put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and have not told it to me." And he said unto her, "Behold, I have not told it to my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it to thee?" And she wept before him the 7 days while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the 7th day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him. And she told the riddle to the children of her people, betrayed him. 7 days into marriage, the Philistine betrayed him. Was he shocked? Are you really shocked when you partake of the world and the world burns you? Are you really shocked when you talk to a so-called friend and they repeat everything you say?
Come on.
Are you really shocked? Because the Bible preaches to us and prophesies and says that when you mix light and darkness, it's what's going to happen. It's what's going to happen. When you make that decision and you step out of that bounds, that's the consequence. That's the fire that you're going to be burned with. And so many of us are shocked sometimes.
I didn't think that person was capable of that. I didn't think this person was capable of this.
Well, the Bible tells us that we're all evil. And we're even more evil if we're not separated by God. If you're not a Nazarite, then you're against God. You're a Philistine. And Samson never really got this theory inside of him till right before he died. And it took his whole life. And here, Samson has vengeance. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he went to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil and gave changes of garments unto them, which expounded the riddle. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, who he had used as his friend.
Wow.
So, Samson gets married. Within 7 days, his wife betrays him. He slays 30 Philistines. And his father-in-law gives his wife to his best friend. All right, can we hit the reset button here? Samson, what's going on here? What? And still, you don't see where Samson said, "I went to the temple of the Lord. I went to the high priest. I went to my church. I went to my father." No. Even though the Spirit of the Lord was still on him, he just kept doing as he wished.
Yes.
As it pleased him. Whatever he felt like doing. It didn't say that God commanded him to go kill 30 people. And we look at these feats and we kind of make them a supernatural thing, and which they are. But was it really what God told him to do? Did God say, "Oh, after you marry this Philistine, I want you to go down and kill these 30 guys?" Samson was continually led by self-will and the lust of whatever he wanted to do. And then when I tell you that this man was a superhuman, he had strength that no man has ever been had on this earth. He was a strong, strong man. And it was given to him supernaturally by the Lord. He was a unique human being. But you are a unique human being.
That's right.
I am a unique human being. I don't have muscles. I can't kill a lion. But there's things that God entrusted into me. And he's told me what to do and where to go and how to do it. And there's no different from you.
Come on.
If you're a child of the living God, you are a unique human being. You're no different than Samson. You're no different than what this man did. Because you're a Nazarite separated from God. And sometimes we think, well, I'm not Noah. I'm not Samson. I'm not John the Baptist. It doesn't matter. Because you're you. God created each and every one of us with a specific talent, with a specific skill. And he says, you're a unique person in Christ. And in Christ, we do have that power that Samson had. But like I said before, it's a spiritual power. It's a supernatural power to fight the demons of hell that want to come against us. But we don't see that in our life. We walk around with the mully grubs and we say, "Oh, I can't do it. Nobody likes me." Listen, nobody has to like you to go to heaven.
Right.
Nobody has to want you to go to heaven. Okay? The only thing that you need is Jesus Christ and to be separated as a Nazarite as Samson was supposed to be. It's not a popularity contest. Okay? It's not points. It's not a beauty pageant. It's what are you doing with your unique skill that God has given you?
That's right.
And the flip side of it is, what are you doing with your secrets inside that the devil is trying to give you? Because yes, we are a unique person, but there are faults and weaknesses in all of us that the devil wants to exploit. And properly exploited, it will destroy us. Because if we buy into that, we will slowly distance ourselves from where we're supposed to be. Now, towards the end of the story, when Samson was with Delilah, he told her a riddle. He said, if you bind my feet, if you bind my hands, that'll take my strength away. And he was again playing with her. And I thought, as I read the end of that story and I read the story backwards, that was a symbolic thought and act. Because Samson was slowly binding himself from the beginning of his life.
Why?
It was a slow binding. He didn't even know it. But towards the end of his time, when he finally lost the strength and the power, that was just a physical, symbolic binding of his hands and his feet.
That's right.
He's binding himself right now. Wow. As we speak. And as we speak, are we binding ourselves? Mm-hmm. Oh, we don't have the physical ropes on. We don't have the handcuffs or the manacles. But our thoughts, our actions, our habits, they slowly bind us. And we don't even see it. Samson did not even see it. Slowly throughout this whole story, his hands are bound. His mind is bound. His thoughts are bound. And even though the Spirit of the Lord still resided inside him and gave him that strength to judge the enemy of the Israelites, he wasn't ever completely what he was supposed to be. And what a shame if we turn out that way. Because we have the knowledge. We have the history. We have the stories that says, this is how you can be everything you're supposed to be. And still we falter. Because we need Christ. We need the spirit of the Nazarites to be separated completely. And when we're not, we slowly bind ourselves. Samson, chapter 15, verse 11, he slaughters 3,000 Israelites, or Philistines, excuse me. Another supernatural miracle, killed 3,000 of them. You notice nobody joined him? He was by himself. And I have to ask myself that question. Even though the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, was what he did just a physical show of strength? There was never any other spiritual leaders that were with him. And I understand Israel was in a time of famine at that time, spiritual famine where they were comfortable. But perhaps if Samson had shined a more spiritual light, maybe he would have been able to conquer even more. Perhaps he would have been able to live up to his full potential. But here he goes by himself and he slaughters 3,000 enemies. A feat of itself, with a jawbone. A jawbone. I read that 4 or 5 times. And he took a jawbone of a donkey and he killed 3,000 guys with it. 3,000 enemies. And I can't picture 3,000 guys. I can't picture, was he surrounded by all of them? Or was it 1 by 1? But what kind of battle was this? I've never seen anything like this. I heard of 3,000 versus 1. With a jawbone. And he had it. He had it inside. He just couldn't put it all together. And I asked myself, do I falter that way? Am I not able to put it all together? Do I have the supernatural strength to slaughter 3,000 demons in the spirit, but I can't live up to my full potential? Is that me? Is that you?
Come on.
And only you can ask that question of God. And he will tell you. And they said there was heaps of men just laying everywhere after he slain them. There's dead men everywhere. And he became famous. Chapter 16. And here's what I want to focus on. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went in unto her. The pervasive sin that he carried throughout his whole life will now lead to his demise. He had a thirst for love, no doubt, which we all do. We all have a thirst for love.
Wow.
But the only way that thirst for love can be quenched first is with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When Jesus Christ quenches that thirst for love that we have, then we can love another human being. Until then, that thirst for love will attempt to be satisfied in many, many different areas.
Good point.
And Samson, he wanted to be loved. I think he was probably a pretty tender guy. Some of the things that he did was very humorous. He was a very likable person. And I think we want to be liked by others. We want to be accepted. None of us want to be shunned. None of us want to be put on the outside. And he just wanted someone to love him. But he never could get it right. Because I don't think his relationship with Christ was one of love. The Spirit of the Lord dwelled inside of him. It was there. But I think Samson kind of drifted away. And he ended up just relying on the talent and the skill that he had. And it's easy to do. Because when God gives us talents and skills, we're usually good at them. We're usually really good on them. We can rely on those. And even when the Spirit of the Lord leaves, we still have that talent and that skill. And Samson did that. He was still a strong guy. I can get myself out of any situation. I can slaughter. I can pick things up. I can do whatever I want to do. And he drifted away. And the true love that he needed to have with Christ as a Nazarite and uphold those vows, he didn't accomplish. Verse 2, and it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson laid till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of a hill that is before Hebron. Most Bible scholars think that this wasn't like a 9-window door. This door weighed in excess of 1,000 pounds. This guy woke up at midnight, went to the city gate. He didn't have bolt cutters. He didn't have a hammer. He took his two hands and the posts of the gate and the iron gate, he twisted it, picked it up like this, and he walked up a hill and he set it on top of a hill. Now, again, you think of that, and it's so supernatural, and it's so powerful, and it's such a miracle. You would think that this guy would have turned around and said, made a sacrifice, or thank God, or did something. He didn't. After he did that, he came back to Delilah. So he left the harlot's house. He picked up this giant gate when the guys tried to kill him, walked the gate up the hill, came back down, and went back to the harlot. And I'm thinking to myself, it's crazy, but is it any crazier than some of the things that we've done? The insanity sometimes is that the devil does deceive us. And he deceives us to a point where you might be going to church, you might be reading the Bible, but it doesn't mean you're completely a Nazarite. It doesn't mean you've completely separated. And Samson's in this situation. Verse 5, and the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lies. And by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give you, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. So, here comes the money thing. As Judas betrayed Jesus, Delilah has offered a great sum of money to betray Samson. Even though Samson was continually strengthened throughout his entire life, there comes a point where God says, I can't continue to strengthen you. I can't continue to strengthen you. And as God takes some of his strength, the devil doesn't stop attacking.
Right.
He begins to attack more because I think he senses that also. He senses when we fall away. He senses when we back away. He senses when we're not completely 100% hip with the program. And so I could see Samson slowly being deceived by his own accord. No one made him do this. He wanted to do it. And Delilah said to Samson, verse 6, tell me, I pray you, wherein your great strength lies, and wherewith you might be bound to afflict you. And here Samson says, if they bind me with 7 green withes that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Samson starts to play again.
Yep.
Starts to play the game. How many knows that as we get a little bit older, our strength starts to dissipate a little bit. We might not have that same strength and energy to fight the devil as we need to. And if we don't call on others and we isolate ourselves, the devil has a complete plot to take us over. And that's what he's starting to do here. Samson's self-will is still plaguing him. He's still hanging out with Delilah. He's deceived, been betrayed by women, and then returns to another woman in the same land. Verse 8, then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withes which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon you, Samson. And he broke the withe as a thread of tow is broken when it touches the fire. So his strength was not known. He broke it. First plan failed. Do you think Satan stopped? Do you think Satan stops when he waylays you the first time? He's wary. He knows there's a secret. And he knows if he keeps up his attack, as your strength dwindles, he's going to get to the end of that secret. He's going to find the key that he needs to find. Verse 10, and Delilah said unto Samson, behold, you have mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray you, wherewith you might be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then I shall be weak and be as another man. And Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him wherewith, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon you, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber. And he broke them off of his arms like a thread. Second time. And this is the part where I've told you that this is just a symbolic binding of his hands and his feet. Because when we play too much, the devil will come and he will completely bind us for real. And this is the problem that Samson's been dealing with for his entire life. And it's going to come and he's going to suffer a consequence for it. Verse 13, and Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith you might be bound. And he said unto her, if you weave the 7 locks of my head with the web, and she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon you, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. Now, he starts to reveal the secret. The first time he talked about his hair. What she did was she weaved his hair to a beam in the house. And when he awoke, he pulled the beam with his hair and he pulled the beam outside the door. Okay. Again, it's a superhuman feat of strength. And he does begin to discuss his hair. The devil will get us in situations, if we're not careful, that exploit the things that we're tempted to.
Oh, amen. Come on.
He will get us in situations, and if he can just get us to dilly-dally around it a little bit, he believes that he can get us to fully bite. to fully cooperate. That's what he believes. I believe it too.
Amen.
I believe it too.
Come on.
Because if we're not in the Word, that little nibble, that little piece of cheese that we give the mouse, that's just the bait. Samson's been baited. He's finally been baited. He's finally stuck his nose in just enough. He's talking about his hair. He's talking about the true secret that he was told to never tell. Verse 15, and she said unto him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these three times and have not told me wherein your great strength lies. It's so disgusting the way she said that to him. Which isn't it disgusting the way the devil speaks to us too, as well? Oh,
why?
Don't you love yourself? You deserve it. And what do we say to ourselves? We say it right back. I do deserve it. I do deserve something that pleases me well. I've had a long day. I've had a long week. I deserve it. I need it. It pleases me. I should have it. All these things that we're seeing in Samson is the same things that we have told ourselves. I believe that most times we deceive ourselves and then the devil just puts the kibosh on us. We deceive ourselves because we want to be deceived. At Samson in that moment, I don't know, maybe the pressure was too great for him. Maybe the pressure of being this person without the complete guidance of the Holy Spirit, maybe it was too great for him. Maybe he said, you know what? I don't know. Maybe I'll chance it. Maybe God wasn't right. Maybe I don't need hair. Maybe it's not true. Maybe I can change the rules. Maybe I can do this a little different. Maybe my self-will will prevail over what God said. And I'm looking at this situation. This is just a regular guy. He's just a regular guy, just like you and me. And he's struggling with these same things that some of us struggle with. Is God really there? Have I fully, completely devoted my life to God? Is God really speaking to me at this moment? Are God's promises true? Do I have the faith to believe his promises? Where am I in my life? And he's sitting here with this prostitute, and she's telling him the thing that he's wanted to hear this whole time. Love. Love. Oh, don't you love me? I love you. Verse 16. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. He fellowshipped so much with the world that the world eventually brought him down. He didn't bring them up. When you fellowship with the world, you will go down to their level. Water seeks its own level. You're not going to lead anybody from the bar to the church. You're not going to lead anybody from a life of sin by engaging or even nibbling at that sin with them. It's not going to work. It never has worked. And Samson's the proof of this. Is Samson's just, he's dilly-dallying around. And she's pressing him. And I believe this pressing was a constant. Every hour, every minute. Till he woke up, till he went to bed. What's the secret? Tell me. Tell me. Tell me. I love you. Tell me. And he finally relented. Verse 17, then he told her all his heart and said unto her, there has not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaved, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man. And she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. Now that last line where it says she began to afflict him, it was a kind of a torture. How she made him fall asleep, some suspect maybe she drugged him. He was in such a deep sleep that they were able to take a razor to his head, shave his head. And it said she began to afflict him. She began to poke him, prod him, cause him kinds of pain. Because of 3 times before this, he lied to her. And he arose with that great strength. This time, she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. I can only picture what Samson felt. You know when you start to come down with a sickness, and it begins to slowly start from the top of your head and go right through your body? I can imagine that Samson may have felt that way as she started to maybe pinch him or poke him or cut him or twist his arm. Slowly that strength began to pour out of him like a jug of water. And what must have he been thinking at that moment as this prostitute is inflicting pain, taunting him, and all the while knowing on the other side of that door was the lords of the Philistines there to take him away. It's a feeling that I don't know if I really understand. But it's a feeling that I know that I could go through if I mimic Samson's life. Because when the Spirit of the Lord is poured out of you, and that strength to fight is no longer, your life and your actions have to begin to come before you. And I can see Samson kind of awakening out of this drug spirit, like after you take some NyQuil. And this is happening to him, and he's not really knowing what's going on. And he reaches with a hand that the day before could bend a steel bar. And he begins to reach, and it feels like he's gripping cloth. And he's trying to fight. In verse 20, and she said, "The Philistines be upon you, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as other times before and shake myself." I think he knew before he even said that he wasn't going to shake himself. He hoped that his consequence wouldn't be there. But in my heart, I think he already knew, I'm not shaking myself for anything. I'm gone. And he went out, and he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Verse 21, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. He was bound, he was blinded, and now he's spending his life grinding grain in a prison house. Isn't that what Satan wants to do to us? Yes. He grinds us. He works us. He tries to get those chains on us. He tries to bind us. He's working all the time. Same circle, working on us, working on us, working on us. He tries to get us bound, and he tries to blind us of the things from the Lord. Samson physically had those things happen to him. They gouged his eyes out. He's blind. He's bald. No doubt they beat him, tortured him, hurt him, and tied him to a post where he walked around in circles every day. Every day.
Come on.
And it's no different than some of us. Sometimes we just walk around in circles of the same thing all the time.
keep going around that mountain.
We keep going around and going around. We're not physically blind, but are we blind spiritually? Are we bound to that thing that we're circling? Walking around and around and just wondering, why am I keep doing this? And God said to me, is it because you departed? Is it because you didn't listen? Is it because you didn't really separate yourself as you were supposed to be? And Samson's walking around in this prison. What's he thinking now? Verse 22. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaved. Sometimes the isolation of the Lord leads us to a full restoration. Amen. When we choose to go this route, the Lord doesn't leave us. He's there just waiting for the re-invitation of his Spirit. And I can see Samson walking around. He can't see anything. Been forgotten about. Thinking of his younger days, the miracles that he had, his parents, the power that Christ gave him, and his hair began to grow. Spiritually, our hair can begin to grow as well.
Come on.
When the Lord allows us to go through a trial and tribulation, he allows our hair to regrow. And Samson's there, and verse 23, the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. For they said, our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. Idolatry. This Dagon who had the hands, body, and head of a human, and the rest of them was shaped like a fish. That's who these people worshipped. They thought this half human, half fish had delivered Samson unto them. And they were going to celebrate. They were going to worship. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God has delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. Now, I've looked at some pictures of what people thought this great sanctuary looked like, and it was a massive, massive stone building. And the pillars that he asked to be placed on were the two middle support pillars that supported the entire building. It was a mammoth building. And I began to think, how big was Samson? Because a support pillar, I would say, if you look from that pillar to that pillar, I mean, this is just a small building. But you have a good 15 or 20 feet. And Samson was asked to be placed between these two support pillars. He must have been a mammoth of a man. And he asked the lad that brought him in to place his hands on these two support pillars. And Samson is standing there. Verse 27, now the house was full of men and women. And all of the lords of the Philistines were there. And they were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women who beheld while Samson made sport. These were the quote-unquote important people of the Philistines. The rich, the lawmakers, the rulers, the people who had really afflicted the children of Israel. The ones who had really said, you know what? Yeah, let's make the laws, let's lead them to slavery, let's make them do everything we want to do. And Samson knew this. In verse 28, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray you, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. This type of prayer to the Lord never goes unheard.
Come on.
When we cry out to the Lord and we ask Him to remember me, I pray thee, He will not turn a blind eye. He desires a fellowship with you and with me. He wants that relationship. He wants to love us like no one else can love us.
Amen.
He wants to be there for us.
Come on.
But our self-will, our stories, our excuses, our sins keep us at a distance. And I believe that's why we can't really love other people in relationships completely. Because we haven't really allowed Jesus Christ to love us. But when we say a prayer, O Lord, remember me, I pray thee. Jesus Christ senses that pureness and that holiness of that prayer. And He can't turn a blind eye to that. Verse 29, and Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on it which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and the other with his left. All the while, the Philistines are still laughing at him, mocking him. The enemy does not have to know that the power of the Lord is again being stirred into you.
Amen.
Come on.
He does not have to know. And I don't believe he senses it until his destruction takes place.
Amen.
And as the power of the Lord began to fill with Samson again, and no doubt these Philistines were even more deceived, because chances are, Samson had a lot of hair. His hair had grown back. And you could see the Philistines. And you think of the deceivers and how people are deceived so easily when it's right before their eyes, it's because they don't have the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
And they're looking at the same guy who the secret was that no razor would touch his hair. But the razor had touched his hair, and God had allowed his hair to grow back. And with it was going to restore him to the same supernatural strength that he had for the majority of his life. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. He didn't commit suicide. He gave his life. He gave his life. He sacrificed himself. Because in the coming years, after he took down these pillars and killed those 3,000 people that were the leaders of the Philistines, Israel was able to reassert its power and liberate themselves from the Philistine rule. He sacrificed himself. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the Lord's and upon all the people who were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than any than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtol in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. Some Bible scholars think that after he pushed those two support beams down, that he fell backwards and his body was never crushed like the Philistines were. They researched that, and that's why they were able to extract his body and bury him. That the Lord, even in death, still honored him. That his death was outside of where the enemy died. That he still had that honor, and he was bestowed that honor as his family finally came down, took him and buried him with his father. Are we satisfied with the yoke that the Philistines have on us?
Come on.
Are we satisfied to live days, years, months of our life with that yoke, saying to ourselves, it's okay, I'll just play with this a little bit? Samson was the definition of another prodigal son. That he did come back to the Lord and he did regain full restoration. But I ask myself, what more could have Samson could have accomplished?
Amen.
How much more could he have used that unique ability, that unique strength to judge the children of Israel, to be the judge against their enemy? And maybe this was God's plan all along. I'm not God. But I look at this guy who his whole life he was really self-deceived. He was tempted. And ultimately, that temptation exploited him. And he became somebody who, yeah, he killed a lot of Philistines. But was that the way that God wanted him to go out? And I look at my life, I look at other people's lives, and I say, there's got to be so much more that God has in store for us. And I don't really think we touch the tip of that glacier sometimes. There's so much more underneath the surface.
Come on.
And Samson went his entire life. And if there's anything that you take from this sermon, it's the power of self-will and the secrets that we have inside of us that we don't take care of was the things that came back and ended up taking Samson's joy, his salvation, and his strength for a short time. And Samson was able to have that experience where he was able to reinvigorate and re-restore his life. But that's not guaranteed to all of us.
Right.
It's not guaranteed that we have a second chance. Mm-hmm. It's not guaranteed that our sin doesn't cost us our life. It's not guaranteed that our self-will and the things that we dilly-dally around with, it's not guaranteed that God can turn a blind eye. Because when that strength leaves us, God forbid it does, it's not guaranteed that God's going to dump another bucket back in.
That's right.
And there's so much more to say about what Samson did, but there's almost so much to say about what he didn't do. And I don't want to be one of those people that just looks at it and says, well, you know, that's a great story. Well, it's not a great story. It's a true story. It was a true story. And I think God's calling us and he's saying, the Samson's inside all of us. Even though God gives you great power and strength, he can give you more. Because you are a unique person. You are a unique Christian.
Amen.
But if you don't exercise that power inside against the demons that fight against you, you can slay all the lions you want outside. You can do all types of miracles. But the true battle is inside.
Amen.
And God wants to use that Samson type strength to help you fight those battles
exactly
that you have with those demons inside. But God can't fully help you fight those battles. And he can't send other people to help you fight those battles. Just like Samson had really nobody. If we don't communicate what those battles are. Because if we don't communicate what those battles are, we are just another type of Samson. Just walking around. I believe some of us just hoping for the end. I think at some point he was just hoping for the end. And he failed to see the entire linear part of his life and what God had planned for him. He had glimpses of it, and that's okay. But I think as he pushed down those two pillars, he said, God, I sacrificed my life for the Israelites, for my country. He had to have some kind of regret. Or he said, you know what? This is it. This is it. And how dare us, shame on us, if at the end of our life we're standing between two pillars spiritually saying, this is it. I am a Christian, but God wanted me to do more, or I could have done more. I think if anything you learn from that is Samson's self-will, which we all have. Self-will to do what pleases us first has to be the thing that's addressed the most. Because without that self-will, Samson would have completely turns his life over as a Nazirite. And in closing, if you do go back and you read the book of Judges, and it talks about all Samson's feats, when he killed those 3,000 men with that jawbone, he still had the spiritual foresight to take that jawbone, and the Bible says he threw it away when he was done killing those people. Bible scholars believe he threw it away because he knew. He knew that the children of Israel would have worshipped that jawbone and seen that thing as power. Through all Samson's feats, he never worshipped his strength. Sometimes we worship our pride. We worship our abilities. We worship our talents. And God says, throw those things away.
Come on.
Throw those things out of sight. Because when you focus on me, and you focus on the cross and the blood that was shed on Calvary for our sins, that's all you need.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this. The story of Samson, that it's a humbling story because you gave him supernatural power and you allowed him to do things that no other human being has ever done or ever will do. And he messed up in life. And he messed up a little bit so that we can learn from his mistakes. And even though he erred, even though he sinned, even though he was backslidden, you still list him as a man of faith in the Bible. You still list him as a great man in the Bible. And you still honored him. And you came back and you restored him. I pray that this story and the words that I have spoken will have the same effect. That we can look at our lives and compare it to Samson and say, where am I in life? Is my self-will, is my temptations, are the things that I want to be pleased by more important than what God has in store for me? And if they are, and if those are secrets in our life, that we may speak those things into existence and gather the accountability and the help that we really need. Because I can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. But corporately, and with the blood of Jesus Christ, the strength that Samson had to slay that lion, we could turn that strength inside and slay those demons that try to take our life. I pray this in your name. Amen.